But the aim of this poster was to just let people know everything is going to be okay. Just keep on doing what you need to do. We can't let Hitler win. If we just stop living, if we gave up, nothing, we will lose everything that we have, and nothing will, that we value, would be in, you know, 5 or 10 years from now on. So tonight I want to tell you as well, keep calm and carry on. But for us it's different. It's not like we hope everything is going to be fine, because God is awesome. We serve an awesome God. Now, I don't know about you, but just listening to that passage being read, it's really a horrendous passage, isn't it? When you think about it, I always try, when I read the Bible, I try and read it thinking in pictures. What this must have looked like. What this must have been like. And this is worst case scenario. It doesn't get worse than this. When people start taking little babies and throwing them in the river, I don't know if you can get lower than that. I don't know if it can get worse than that. Really, just listening to this, it reminds us of genocide. It reminds us of Rwanda and many others. It even reminds us a little bit about South Africa during apartheid. If you just think about what happened. Because here we see there were violence and force used by Pharaoh. Legalized oppression. You don't get worse than legalized oppression. When the law of the land says it's okay to kill. You don't get worse than that. I think in South Africa, we also at a heart level, surely when we think of foreign people living in our country, at a heart level, surely we do not want to end up sounding like Pharaoh, sounding like him saying the things he is saying. And we see in this, it quickly escalates, doesn't it? It escalates from, you know, assigning taskmasters to afflict them with heavy burdens. And before we know it, they said, listen here, it's not working. Let's be even more ruthless. Make them slaves, work as slaves, make life bitter for them. And then before you know it, babies are being killed. Escalates the violence. Now, when I think of this Pharaoh, I think of someone that's just pure evil. Pure evil. Doesn't care. Didn't lose a night's sleep over the killing of babies. Had no emotions, no feeling. Absolute hatred he felt towards God's people. We see this killing of the babies and the boys especially. Why did he kill the boys and not the baby girls? Because the girls weren't a threat to him. They could be used. They could be traded. So I want to wipe out this nation. How do we do it? We wipe out the boys. The girls we can give to our people and to other men. And we can wipe out this nation from the face of the earth. And we're going to see later on, it's kind of ironic that Pharaoh thought, the king of Egypt thought that these baby girls were worth nothing. But when we get there, you'll see. And so this crazy law that anyone that sees a baby boy can take that baby boy, anyone. I mean, you could be walking in the street, you hear a baby crying, you could go there. Imagine this in South Africa. If you see a baby boy, you could go there, rip that baby from the mother's hands and kill it. Kill that baby. That's the insanity of this law. Just imagine the horror of these moms and dads. And their babies thrown into the river, and who knows what happened there. And like I said this morning, we should never read the Bible and pretend that that's not there. That's there. the dark reality of life. And can I tell you, there are still people living like that in this world? There's still dark corners in this world where people are being treated as less than an animal. Mass murder. Where's God in all this? Where's God in all this? Israel are being this God's people. They are being treated as slaves. Just life is miserable. Where's God? I like to look at verse 12. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. What was Pharaoh trying to do? He was trying to wipe them out. He was trying to cause them to decrease in numbers, trying to end them. And the more he tried to end them, every little plan he made failed. It failed. They kept on increasing. And I always like to think what was going on in those boardroom meetings with the king and his advisors. Like, okay, this is not working. What are we going to do next? Every plan he devised was overruled by God's plan. Today it's the same thing. We have people in our world that does whatever they want to do, think they can do whatever they want to do. But God's plan always trumps their plan. And just like then, nothing can destroy God's people today. That's us. Because I don't know if you know it, the Church of God is under threat. My brother Charles and I was just chatting outside how things have changed and how the world doesn't care anymore, and certainly Christianity doesn't feature. So what can we learn from this passage? What can we learn? Well, I think there's three things we can learn. The first thing we can learn is God is working behind the scenes in secret and ceaseless care. Now, secret, I think we touched on that this morning, but just for those of you who weren't here, it means that we have a limited understanding and we can't see what God is doing. I have this trick with little children that I make things disappear and they love it. You know, Kenneth, your daughters love the trick. They always ask for more. Can you show us again? And I have magic in my hands. Or are they just still very young and they don't see the trickery of Uncle Lukey? God is at work and in secret. There's a great quote. I don't know. Some people say Spurgeon. This is Spurgeon's quote. Others say no, but I still like the quote. God is too good to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken, and when you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Can I read that again? God is too good to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken, and when you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Yes, that to me speaks to my heart. And it's the truth. And that's why we need to count our blessings. We need to count our blessings when our chips are down and life is difficult. I think there's truth in that song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you would just stand amazed to see what God has done. Count your blessings. How many good things do you have in your life? Poor old Pharaoh. He had no idea that he was just a puppet in God's hands and that God was maneuvering him in the way in which he wanted. I love Proverbs 21. You know Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of God. He turns it wherever he wills. That's our God. Pharaoh thought he was in charge, but he wasn't. And sometimes we see glimpses of the secret work of God, especially afterwards. Sometimes you look back and you say, that's why I had to go through that. When you were there, you were like throwing a little tantrum and upset with God, but now I understand. You know, God brought us into that mess so that he can bring us out of that mess for his glory. And I found that in my life, that I've been in a mess. Every now and again, my life is in a mess and difficult situation, and you don't know, but I've seen God just guide me and help me through that. And then he receives the glory. What about God's ceaseless care? How do you talk about God's ceaseless care in this world to the Israelites? How would you tell them that God is a caring God? Even in our country, when people are being hijacked and women are being raped and people really lose their children, I often don't know what to say. What do you tell them? I think what the church must do, that this needs to be a safe place where people can come and say, I don't know, I'm scared. I'm scared. I don't know what to think or what to do. I even doubt my faith. I think this must be a place where people can be real with one another, where we don't have to hide and say, praise God, everything is going well. How are you, brother? No, fantastic. God is good. While you are really struggling and need prayer. And we must not be like Job's friends and tell him that you're a terrible Christian. That's why you're in this mess. Oh, I've seen hurt people over the years because Christians in church say to them, you're a bad Christian. Look at your life. That's why these things keep on happening to you. Really? Well, like Christians can't think like that. Christians don't think like that. It's absolute nonsense. We should be there to help them. Man, let's admit that we can't make complete sense of life in general and be gracious towards one another. Don't struggle alone. Don't go through life alone, struggling on your own. We need one another. I love Galatians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Galatians 6, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you beat him with a stick until he doesn't want to live anymore. Is that what the Bible says? I've got a different translation than yours. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. And then this wonderful verse, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See how that beautiful that verse is? When someone, even when they're sinning, we don't go to them with the, I am better than you. Your sin is worse than my sin. Shame on you, and you make them feel guilty. That's not what it is. I love this spirit of gentleness. Caring for one another. But you have to tell someone for anyone to be able to care for you, isn't it? You have to tell someone. Suffering in silence has never been God's way. He created us to need other people. To be loved is a human need that God created us with. To be loved and to love others. And that's why we place high value on small groups in our church. So if you're not in a small group, you're missing out. Join a group. Find a group. Talk to me. So I think it's no use walking around and just act like things are just fine and you have it all together. I don't think we're helping one another. I know sometimes we think that's how we should act, but at Central, we don't want you to act like that. We don't want you to act like, hey man, it's always just praise in my heart, praise in my heart. Now, we also don't want people walking around moaning and groaning every Sunday. Isn't that true? So we don't people, oh, life is so difficult. You just try and avoid that person after a while. So don't be that person. Don't be that guy or that girl. But be genuine. That's what I think we're talking about. Authentic Christians. I remember when I was a young Christian, I asked asking all the men, so do you struggle at all? Maybe? And he said, no. And I was like, okay. Then I am in more trouble than I thought I was. I want to tell you now, as your pastor, I struggle. I struggle with sin. I struggle with depression. I struggle with in my marriage. I struggle with my children. I struggle with work. I struggle with finances. You name it. Put it on a list, I'm there. I struggle. And that's why my small group means a lot to me. That's why we have people we can talk to. And that's why I always try and be honest when people ask me, how are you? You know, it's lying when it's not going well and you say, well, you know that, right? Just checking. It's a lie. So when I ask you, hey, Charles, how are you? And you say, man, I'm well. How are you? You're lying if it's not going well. Why not say, man, going through a difficult time. You don't have to say, well, I lost 3 cats and 2 dogs and then my car was broken. You don't have to mention details, but we can say, I'm going through a difficult time. Can you? And I will say, listen here, let me pray for you. Isn't that what we should be doing? Carrying one another's burdens? Now, carrying one another's burdens doesn't sound like fun, does it? I don't like carrying things in general, myself. I have 2 children that do that now. It's wonderful. They're growing stronger every year. But, boy, it's a wonderful privilege that I have in my job to carry people's burdens with them. And I want to tell you, it's an honor, and it's wonderful to be used by God in that way. And it's not reserved for pastors only, or for elders only. That verse was written for every one of you to carry one another's burden. There's no in the deep Greek somewhere that a deep Greek says only pastors and elders carry other people's burdens. No, you carry their burdens. And note the context there. People are sinning. People are not in a great place. You carry their burdens. You walk with them. You come alongside them. You ask them, how can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I pray for you? And that's what we do. Second thing I think we can learn here is God uses seemingly weak or average people, seemingly, to accomplish his purposes. Now, I don't know, you know, when you read these verses, you expect God to use the 6'10" guy with muscles like mine, or no, not mine, like Petrus. Petrus, he's the kind of, that's the guy you would think God will use, strong and tall. But God doesn't. Instead, he uses 2 probably single women. Any single ladies here tonight? Yes, you can be used, Zita, welcome. God can use you. Look at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sephra and the other Puah, when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. Let me remind you of 2 things that in biblical times, when this was written, king of Egypt was untouchable. He could do whatever he wanted to. He could point to you and you would die. He just had to say a word and they will take you out and kill you somewhere else. Literally held life and death in his hands. And 2nd thing, women were at the bottom of the food chain. back then. Not now, back then. They were really something you owned, and you could trade them. And that's why they let the baby girls live, obviously. So it's super ironic that the greatest and strongest nation at the time was in a huge way overthrown by God using women. And I know when you think of Exodus, you think of Moses. Who thinks of Exodus and not think of Moses? Then you haven't been in Sunday school. It's Moses. Moses and maybe his brother. But let me remind you that these women, if it wasn't for these women, Moses wouldn't even have been there. The midwives, his mother, who had a plan, a woman who made a plan, his sister, Pharaoh's daughter. You know, when we look at these women, we see gutsy, brave, resourceful, strong, God-fearing women. I would rather go into battle with them than a few guys I know. They had guts. Because you have to understand the immense pressure they were under. They knew, obviously they knew, if we disobeyed the king, we probably will die. Because Pharaoh wasn't a reasonable man. Remember, this is the guy that said, let's kill babies. And I disobey this God, what will happen to me? We must remember that it must have been scary for these girls not to follow his orders. They were not just going with the flow though, hey? Like many people do. They were not going with the flow. The reason for their courage was that they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And people, if you forget everything I say tonight, remember that. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. That's the secret. That's why they were courageous, because they knew, man, Pharaoh we can deal with, but God, there's no chance. It's not because they had husbands, because we know they probably didn't. It's not because they had something to gain, because we know everything was put on the line. They risk everything by not obeying the king's orders. But it was because God was their highest priority that they did this. And God loved their obedience. We see that he gave them families. You know, it's kind of beautiful, this verse. God loved what they were doing, even though they did lie. Did you pick that up? They lied. It's wrong to lie. So sometimes you read verses like that and you think it's okay to lie in certain circumstances. And the Bible says so. Where does the Bible say so? Well, these women, God loved these women, but they lied. So it's okay to lie every now and again. No. That's not what it says. God loved their obedience. He didn't love the lie. But God honored them with their own families. First Samuel 5:22. Saul was being disobedient, and the prophet is addressing him. And he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat rams. God always honors obedience. Choose obedience over sacrifice. Oh, I see people give money to the church and they live a godless life, but they think the money will fix it. No, God wants obedience more than anything else. All of us, like these women, need to be faithful in what we can do. You know, whatever difficulty we face in our country or in your life or wherever you are, you have to be faithful in obeying God and serving Him. To keep calm, but keep on working as well. Don't stop. Last thing I think we can learn here is that we stand in awe of God. We stand in awe of God. Now, have you ever been at a place, you know, nature mostly has this effect on me. You know, when you stand in front of a massive mountain, and you just, when you stand there and you feel so small, and you just realize how wonderful, majestic, and awesome God is, that He created this. Or you're at the ocean and you look at the vast amount of water in front of you, and you can't even see where it ends. And you feel so small. That's what this fear of God is all about. Realizing that God is magnificent and awesome. And you're going to fear something in life. That I can tell you now today. You're going to fear something. But the Bible teaches us that wisdom begins when we fear God. Fear Him more than your buddies. Peer pressure. Hey man, if you do this, and I know I remember people talking about this when I was in the school, and I thought, yeah, I don't know if it's really like that, but it is. Do you want to please your friends? Do you fear rejection more than you fear God? Do you fear being looked upon as a weirdo more than you fear God? If you stand in awe of God, is we fear Him. And when we fear Him, things just get into perceptions don't matter anymore. What is real matters. Now, I don't think things are getting easier for Christians. I don't think we're that popular anymore. When I grew up, Christians were very popular. Not, you know, we're talking about cultural Christians. It's just popular to be Christian. Our views were popular. It was the view of the time. But we're not as popular anymore. And what we believe is not what is perceived as right and moral anymore. When we verbalize those beliefs, many people call it hate speech. And I'm convinced things are not going to get easier. They're going to get more difficult. In our country, there are a few commissions set up to investigate churches and see how they can regulate churches and pastors. You can't say what you want. You have to apply to this board. That's not in the future, guys. That's going on now. They are also investigating new hate speech laws that will, if you say that homosexuality is a sin, that they will call that hate speech. So I hope in the midst of all this, that we will not become passive as Christians, not become more passive because we face these challenges, but that we would be fearless in our pursuit to honor God and to obey Him and fear Him alone. Psalm 118, verse 6. Now, if you're young, this is a cool verse to remember. Stefan, this one is for you, buddy. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man, that's a great verse. What can man do to you? Well, I will contend a lot. Man can do a lot to you. They can laugh at you. They can mock you. They can hurt you. But they can't take your eternal glory that is with Jesus. Paul, if you told Paul, we're going to kill you, he would tell you to die as a gain. Bring it on. If you said to Paul, we're going to put you in jail, he would say, great, we'll have a worship service and all your gods will be converted. Great, put me in jail. We'll torture you, Paul. And he'll say, for I consider all things, all the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. So Paul was that guy that he was the most free person walking on this earth. Why? Because even though Paul spent a lot of time being beaten and stoned and in jail, his mouth hanged open and his knees bent as he stood in awe of his God. God, he feared God above everything, above all else. He knew that God is the most important thing in his life, and that's why he single-mindedly pursued God. I mean, this guy changed radically. He was walking in this direction and literally changed and recklessly followed after God, with no care for his own life. Oh, when I read that, I want to be that man. Do you want to be that man, that woman? Like those midwives, fearing God, standing in awe of him. And when we look at him, Goliath doesn't look that big anymore. Let's fear God above all. Let's be active where we are. Active in schools, active at work, being honest, God-honoring businessmen and women, community, thinking and leading, shining the light of Christ, and bringing the gospel to a lost world. Great book, Exodus. I'm going to finish with a song in a moment, because I like to give you guys some good music, because I know some of you, really, you need new music. So I'm going to introduce you to my friends, Ren Collective, tonight. But before I just go there, I want to remind you that like the Israelites, there was a promised land. We have a promised land too. It's heaven. Oh, you know, eternity is a very long time. You know, I'm looking forward to this holiday. Man, I'm going to swim in the ocean like a little boy. I get like that. When I'm at the sea, I turn into a seven-year-old. I don't want to, I'm like, I can't wait. I'm going to, okay, let's unpack later. I want to go to the sea. We don't care about anything else. I want to get into the waves, man. And I want to just body surf those waves the whole day until I can't walk for the next 5 days. But you know what? Holidays come and go very quickly. Just like this. Good things end quickly. It feels like that to me in life, that whenever something good happens, it ends quickly. It never lasts. Except heaven. Never gonna end. Never gonna end. Forever. Eternity. We will be there. Hallelujah. Well, I want to play you this song from Ren Collective. It's called Counting Your Blessings. We're going to play you just a snippet of it, not the whole song. And just to encourage you and uplift you, and God bless you this Christmas. This is my last Sunday this year at Central. I love you all, and we'll still be praying for you all. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.